This morning we depart from our study of Galatians, although we are going to go to a book that is the sister companion volume to the book of Galatians, and that is Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. When man gets involved in things, there is great confusion, especially in the area of theology. I have grown to dislike systematic theology because I have noticed it silences the Word of God. If it doesn't agree with the theology of some man, then they ignore the Scripture. It is particularly in the area of celebrating the Lord's Supper that that has happened. Go to some churches, and it would be not a celebration of what Jesus has done, but a fascination of the clergy dressed up in fancy garb, throwing smoke, speaking in a different language, and no one understands what in the wide world the whole thing means. That's what happens when man gets involved from the simple, plain sense of God's Word. On the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a celebration that Jesus Christ took the sins of the whole world on Himself and died in the place of the sinner. The fancy term that theologians will call it that you won't see in the Bible is substitutionary atonement. It just means this, that we celebrate this morning that Jesus Christ paid the full price that the holiness of God demanded for man's rebellion against Him. Paul in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, gives the simple perspective. The true meaning when we celebrate communion. He says in verse 6, while we were still helpless. Please note, that is the condition of man. All of us are helpless before God. We cannot make ourselves commendable to Him. You'll hear a lot about the goodness of man, and yes, there are many good people from our perspective, but from God's perspective, all of man's nature is tainted by sin. That doesn't mean we can't do good things, but it means this: there is nothing you can do to make yourself good enough in God's eyes, for Him to accept you in His presence. We are helpless. That's why when people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll just tell the Lord that I've been a good person. Well, in God's perspective, you may have done some good things, but in and of our spiritual condition, we have nothing to commend ourselves to God as good. You won't hear preachers preach that anymore. Why? Because that will not fill the church, and he won't be able to drive his big limousine. The truth is, when we are born sinners, and though we may do some good things, in terms of making ourselves acceptable to God, of gaining salvation, it says we are helpless. But notice what it says next. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. There is what theologians call the substitutionary atonement. You were helpless. Nothing you could do is good enough. Matter of fact, Paul said, if you're going to put yourself under the law, you have to do it all or you're under a curse. No one can do it. It was done deliberately that no one could do it. Because why? There's nothing you can do to make yourself commendable to God. But God sent His Son, and Jesus died. See that word for? See that word for? In English, we don't pay attention to those words, but in Greek, that's a very important word. It says, Christ died for, and you could put there, in place of the ungodly. Colossians expresses it this way, that every one of us have a list of things to our account that God hates. It's called sin. And that list is long and cannot be erased. And nothing we can do can erase that list. And it says in Colossians that Jesus Christ took that list of everything that we have done in rebellion against God, and He nailed it to the cross of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that whole list against you, He wrote, "Paid in full." Then Paul says something that is quite amazing. "For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But when Jesus Christ died for us, guess what? There was nothing righteous in us." As a matter of fact, the Bible will say, which you'll never hear preachers preach, God hates sin. But He loves the sinner. But look what it says in verse 8. "But God demonstrates." How do you demonstrate your love toward your family? By providing for them. "But God gave proof of His own love toward us in that while we were sinners, while we were lost, helpless and foul in God's eyes, He died for us. While we were yet in rebellion, Jesus died." There's that word "for" again. You should never, ever ignore the word "for." It means in our place. And He is arguing from what is called in logic, from the greater to the lesser. And He says this, "Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved." Here was the hard thing to do. To die for rebellious sinners. God died, placed the sins of all of mankind upon Himself. He did the hard thing. Scarcely will you want to die for a righteous person, let alone someone that is what we would call in theology reprobate. But in our ugly, fallen, lost, helpless condition, Jesus died for us. Then look what it says, "Much more than," if God can do the greater of dying for sinners, "how much more now that we've been justified?" That's what we celebrate this morning too. You know what the word "justified" means? Declared righteous. By the way, you aren't righteous. You borrow the righteousness of Jesus Christ, if I can say that. Even borrowing isn't probably a good term. By faith, you receive Christ's righteousness as something that is yours, even though you didn't earn it. "Declared righteous by His blood, we shall be saved from God's wrath." That's what we celebrate this morning. We have been declared righteous by Jesus Christ taking our place upon the cross. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled. See that word reconciled? There's another term that when man gets a hold of it, they make it so fancy. You know what the term reconciled means very simply? Made friends. You know what Jesus Christ did? He made you a friend of God. Do you know who in the Old Testament was a friend of God? Begins with an A. Guess what? Through Jesus Christ, you're made just as much a friend of God as Abraham was. We were made friends with God through the death of His Son. Much more, much more. He said that twice now. Having been made friends, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. There's another fancy term. It simply means made friends with God through Jesus. So here's the bad news. We were helpless. God hates sin. But Jesus Christ, through His taking our place upon the cross, made us friends. And now that we're friends, how much more is there a security of the believer in that God to do the greater thing of loving the sinner, how much more will He love us now that we have Christ's righteousness and have been made friends?